Okay. I see we have a guest this evening, so I guess we'll introduce ourselves. Good evening. I'm Mayor Stoner, and we welcome you and glad you're here.
Good. I'm Beth Lush, City Clerk.
Utility Commissioner, Susan Hobble.
Hi, good evening. My name is Susan Hobble,
Property
Commissioner.
Dennis
Metcalf,
Safety Commissioner.
Dan Small, City Treasurer.
Okay. We have a... are you interested in... Do you have any comments or anything that you...
My name is Mark Tableau. I live on Queen Anne's Court, and I'm here for no other reason than it seems like a responsible, civic-minded thing to do to make an effort to attend a meeting every once in a while.
Okay, well, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure because we do give people the opportunity to make comments or have questions. Okay. Next thing on the agenda is the January 21st city meeting minutes. Did everybody see and get a copy of it? And was there anybody that indicated there was going to be something else that needed to be on there? If not, then do I hear a motion to approve the January 21st city meeting minutes?
I'm making a motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. The next thing is the city financial reports. They were distributed. They're posted online. And did anybody have any corrections?
No.
Okay. If not, do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports for January 2025?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I haven't gotten them yet, but I'll second it.
Okay.
Thank you. I cannot locate my pen.
Thank you, Commissioner Melba. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The expense sheet's going around. The next thing I have on the agenda is the State of the City Address, which I have to do every year. This is what we do prior to delivering the budget. It's only four paragraphs. Won't take me long. The City Commission's primary budget objective is to generate significant revenue to pay expenses during fiscal year 2026. The cost of goods and services continue to rise during 2024, fiscal year 25, and we're continuing to raise, and they're continuing to raise daily for various reasons, all of which are beyond our control. As such, our City Commission will need to be making appropriate fiscal decisions while properly preparing our required annual ad valorem tax and budget ordinances. The Jefferson County PVA office will be providing the City of Worthington Hills with our property assessment values for 2025 in late April. Once these reports are received, the City of Worthington Hills City Commission will be finalizing our city's 2025 ad valorem tax ordinance, which will comply with the requirements set forth in KRS 132.027. The most important fiscal year 2026 budget worksheet line items continue to be security, waste collection, property maintenance, and road maintenance. Our City Commission should develop and approve a budget designed to cover these ordained expenses without using our city's revenues, our city's reserve funds. In conclusion, the City Commission needs to continue the practice of being fiscally responsible, but the City Commission and our city residents need to understand our primary revenue sources are limited to our property tax and insurance premium tax collections. Losing any portion of either one of these revenue sources for any reason, we quickly deplete our reserve funds, which is also known as our rainy day funds. Our reserve funds should only be used for natural or man-made disasters and or pandemics, since they are unpredictable and devastating to a city's revenue stream. Being financially prepared for the worst case scenario is always the best and correct path to take and follow. Okay, and I thank you very much and I'm going to sign one of these for the record. Thank you for allowing me to stumble through that again this year. So, all right, we'll get into some of that later. We have Chris Parrish here from Rumpke. I asked him to come in here today to be at the meeting so that he could answer some of the questions we have. And if nobody else wants to start, I will be more than happy to start asking the questions. Okay. Thank you, Chris, again, for coming here and taking the heat. Okay. One of the things that I wanted to bring up, and it had nothing to do with the trash itself, but the week after, I noticed the week after we had the snow event in early February or January. When was that? It was January or February. Anyhow, the garbage vehicles were in the city before 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were picking up like at 5:30, 5:45, which goes against, and I don't know if you all know this, but there's a county ordinance, Jefferson County ordinance, metro ordinance. It's 99.03 standard for noise pollution and the exemptions. Number 13 is noise relating to collection of refuge between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. That's an exception, okay? But prior to that is quiet hours. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention because you may not have been aware of it. And
can I say something? That is the week that we weren't sure if you all would make it out. And they decided to come on out to do trash pickup.
That's true, but it's still in violation of the ordinance.
Well, it was either they start early and get it done, I think, or...
Well...
We sent out some notifications on that to say that we can try to service, but we were trying to get out early before the snow came in so that it didn't get skipped and then not able to get it. So it was kind of a mess during the...
Oh, I understand that, but I just wanted to bring up the point that we got people that don't take their trash out, so they friggin' leave to go to work, okay? And my concern was they were coming so early that Commissioner Muffin was going to be inundated with, well, they didn't pick my trash up, you know? And that was my concern, that I wanted to make sure that in the future that we understand that 6 a.m. is allowable, okay? A lot of people put theirs out the night before, but there are still some that wait and take the last bit of trash out in the morning, and it can be an issue, and it could end up causing problems for our commission. Now coming to this chart, okay, and I thank you for getting this, okay? Of course, this stuff has to be logged anyhow, but what I wanted to ask about is we have recycling, okay? And the stuff that's recycled, are you all able to receive compensation for whoever you're giving that recycling stuff to?
Yeah, so how that works with recycling, I will say, I used to be the regional market rep for Rumpke for recycling years ago, so definitely know how it works. I've worked with municipalities on that, but recycling, as you know, it always is a kind of ebb and flow of up and down as far as commodities and what they pay, and so I will say as far as it being a big money maker, it's not a big money maker. Sometimes it's kind of a loss, but where we do it, our motivation on that too is sustainability in the long run, and it keeps it from going into landfill, which makes the landfills less water. So that's the benefit. I will say that processing and what we spend on our recycling plants, which we do give tours, you know, anyone ever wants to see a tour of our recycling plants. Our Cincinnati one, we spent, I think it was $56 million or something on that plant alone. And it is automated fiber op. I mean, just everything with fiber op eyes and everything, how it sorts everything automated. It's really, it is kind of neat to see, you know, to check it out. I think we do have it on our website as well, where you can kind of see kind of a virtual tour of it. So that processing does come with a call. So it's, I haven't checked today's rate on that, but it's somewhere around $60 per ton to $69 per ton to process is what our cost is to process that per ton. And, you know, you look at, you know, the landfill, well, it's actually cheaper to put it into the landfill for us. Now, sometimes certain commodities will go up as far as, you know, paper, white paper, clean white paper, things like that, you know, but pays more than your plastics and things like that. So with it, yeah, we do have end users that we have agreements with that we supply cardboard to. We do take glass, and we have a direct user with that where it goes back into making insulation. And some of it goes back into the beverage industry as well. We do have a glass plant up in Dayton, Ohio, that ends up getting all that material then to go to its final destination. So most of all those products do have an end use to it. But it's not a big money maker, but there is money that comes off the back end of it.
Well, it depends on where you're looking at the money being made.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll get to that in a second. All right. What about the yard waste?
Well, the landfill, we do have our landfills that have, we've made a gas plants that are there that are making compressed natural gas.
Yeah, most all of the waste fill areas all have methane recouping capabilities. So, the yard waste, what about the yard waste? That is another question I have that we have very little. I mean, according to this, the 2 years that we had a lot of yard waste is because of the wind storms and the tree limbs that we had coming down. But we're pretty steady on where we're at on yard waste when you look at 21 and 22. 23 and 24 is because we had all those trees that got blown down and the tree damage from the wind storms. But do you take it to a particular vendor, or do you have some place that you...
Yeah. So it is, and, you know, there's other facilities that we've used for that, but we do take it to a vendor that handles all yard waste products, so we do have to keep it very clean to be able to meet their requirements.
Are they paying you for...
No, it costs us.
It costs you to take it there? So they turn around and mulch it and
right.
Make money on it. Okay. All right. Well, as you can see from these numbers that I have on this sheet, okay, I did it based off of the cost per ton. Okay. And these are the reason why I had these questions was, as you can see, between the trash and the recycling cost per ton, is 238%, almost 239. Okay, and I granted January is not a normal yard waste month. This is what I was trying to get at last year. I mean, the yard waste cost per ton, from the best I could figure out, was $617.71. For the month of January, because I'm assuming that this first one they had was for the full month of January, but this is something that if Brumke knows an annual amount of waste, yard waste and recycling that's coming out of our account. Okay, out of our city. Okay. And I'm just curious if this is being taken into consideration on our renewals, because we've got a history, okay? And last year, the renewal was quite disturbing. And I'm looking at pretty much the same amount of trash every year. Same thing with the recycling. It's right there, all about the same every year. So even though you explained last year that, you know, you had labor increase costs, you had equipment costs, you have all these costs to doing business, okay, this kind of material is just like an actuarial with an insurance company. You know exactly how much risk factor trash is coming out of Worthington Hills. And after looking at this, I'm not having a problem with what you guys were trying to justify last year. Okay? And I wanted to bring this to your attention. That's why I wanted you here tonight. Was, again, I've had the tour in Rumpke's Colerain Township back in 2002, I think it was. Okay? So I had a lot of knowledge because the company I used to be an owner in, we did their on-hold messaging. So we wrote the scripts. We made the on-hold messages. So I have a lot of insight into the trash industry just because of the education I got writing scripts for the on-hold messaging. So, again, I'm bringing this up now so that you can go back and tell your people you're not dealing with the normal guy, okay? I really expect us to get a competitive bid out of you. We're going to bid it out because we're required to. But I want you to see, you know, to see and know that I have a little bit of insight, and I have a real problem when I look at these numbers, because when I go down every year based off of what the cost was per year, it's virtually about the same everywhere when it comes to the difference in tonnage cost between recycling and waste disposal. It's over 200% almost every year. And to me, that, you know, if you want us to do recycling, there's got to be a reason for doing it, because obviously I'm looking at other cities and HOAs that don't do recycling. They don't really care. That everything just goes into the trash. And what's important for Runty? Do you want it in the trash or do you want it recycled? That's my question to you all. And because right now, you know, I have a feeling it's just maybe just better for us just to have only trash contract, period. And that's really pretty much how I'm feeling about it. And I'm not sure how the rest of the commission feels about it, but, you know, it really was important to me to have you here so that you can take these concerns back to Rumpke, okay? And I know you're just the rep, okay? But you're the one that needs to know that this can't continue. I mean, we're, as a city, we're only allowed to increase our revenue amount by 4% per year. So if it's $100,000 last year on property tax, we're only allowed to go to $104,000 without going through all these public hearings. So, again, when you all start, you know, I'm talking about the trash industry themselves, when they start jacking the rates up 25 and 26%, where are we supposed to get the money? You know? And, you know, for us to tell the constituents that our services keep going up, well, where's it going to stop? You know, if you don't want the landfill being filled up with recycling, there ought to be an incentive, in my opinion, for recycling to be a more competitive arrangement. Same thing with the yard waste. Even though you're paying for it, you don't, you know, yard waste is, to me, is, you know, and I know, I think you said something about there's a certain percentage you can put into your landfill before you start getting the EPA standards or something.
Very, very small percentage.
Yeah. And so I don't want to, you know, personally, I don't want to hinder you all from having that issue, because I know how much EPA just loves to friggin' fine people, you know. Maybe not so much under Trump now, but it's still there. The regulation is still there. And so I'm bringing this to your all's attention, okay? And I wanted you to hear me out so that you can understand where I'm coming from. Do you did I make myself clear?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I appreciate you sharing. I'd be one of those concerns. I'll take it in. I'll show them that, definitely. So I appreciate that. You know, as far as on pricing, if you look, you know, it's more, when you look at trash and recycling, it's more than just the disposal or processing costs of those things. Obviously, there's the per ton rate's more when you factor in the driver who's driving the truck that operates those, which, you know, and then the cost. I know it's hard, and, you know, as far as those types of increases, and I know that everyone in here sees that, even just going to the grocery store, and it still continues to go up as far as the expenses. And things are, Remke doesn't know what it takes to operate their business, and, you know, it is business, so, I mean, they do want to be profitable at the same time.
I'm not trying to take your profit away again, okay? We have to be understanding, because if somebody else was to look at these numbers, I'm more than likely they're going to find that what I'm saying is absolutely, you know, astonishing, that there is so much more cost to recycling when it's to your all's benefit. Okay, it's to the environment's benefit, because we're not putting these recyclable items into the dump, to where the waste goes. And it, yeah, right. I mean, I don't know how much more land they're going to be able to buy up there in friggin' Coleraine. I mean, that was back in 92 or whatever it was. It's disturbing. I mean, honestly, it is disturbing how much waste goes out every day. And, I commend anybody in the waste industry, because you've got to put it somewhere. Okay? At the same time, there's only so much cost that we can absorb, because we have a limited increase. For us to, you know, if we take another 20% hit, that's going to put us up around 175,000 to 180,000 dollars per year for all three services. You know, so, and that right there is pretty much what we get in property tax. The only reason we have additional income is for our insurance premium tax, which we don't have control over that either. I mean, premiums go up, and the amount we collect goes up, thank goodness, okay, because it's off of a percentage of the cost of the insurance. Without it, we wouldn't be able to put the lights on or the sprinklers on or the salt on the streets. I mean, there's a limit on where we can go, okay? And I'm just bringing this, like I said, to your attention so you can share it with your people, okay?
Absolutely. And do know, I mean, as far as on recycling, there is a break, because you look at that cost breakdown, and you might be more at, you know, around a $7, $8 range versus double that on trash cost. So there definitely is an offset as far as what it costs to do that. I mean, if something was to go that it went into trash, well, you know, then, of course, then you absorb, the trash is going to change just because then the tonnage rate, we know that's going to change. We know what the tonnage goes if it goes there. But, yeah, it is benefits to everybody. I mean, it's a sustainability for the city, it's sustainability for Renfrew as well, so to try to divert from landfill and do something that's more sustainable. So, you know, we definitely all have the same interest for that.
Okay. Well, has anybody else got anything for Chris? You're worried he's allowed to leave. All right. Well, Chris, thank you again for your attendance and listening to our concerns and for my rant, as I call it. Okay. Again, I hope that you'll go back and on our behalf, and I don't want to say beg, okay, but you're going to have to be competitive. Okay. Okay.
Yes, actually. Do you know when you plan on having?
We're going to put the first bid out. The bid's going out sometime the first part of March, so we can do the bidding process. And it, but it's also going to be, you know, we can reject all bids. Okay. So again, it may end up moving on into April, but I would like very much to have a good quote or bid from Rumpke, because you've been doing a decent job, okay? I do know that when the wind blows and on the recycling, if your paper is loose, it blows out rather than going in, okay? That's understandable, but and your guys are pretty good. When they dump over a trash can, they'll pick it up, okay? But again, I thank you for showing up. And, you know, you have a nice evening. If you want to leave, that would be great, you know. So,
thank you again. I appreciate your time.
All right. You have a blessed day, blessed evening. Get home before it snows.
I think they sent it to 8 instead of 7. I think it's what they said.
I think it's up to 9.
No, hopefully so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Thanks. Okay. On the back of this sheet that's got the tonnage, I did the calculation for everything for the on those 4 years, okay? And he only got the front page. He didn't get the back page, okay? Because I wanted to show you these percentages. This is just really disturbing to me. And it's probably going to be with any company, but I wanted to, you know, again, for everybody's information, I wanted to get these numbers so that we have these top numbers, not all this percentage stuff, but these top numbers for the bidders, so that they're not walking in blindsided. Okay? Anybody that we get a bid gets to see this tonnage that we had for the last 4 years plus last month. Okay? That's the whole reason for getting that stuff, was for the bids. Any questions? I know you're just dying to say something, Susan.
No, I mean, I feel like we only have just maybe two that we're going to have to decide from. I mean, I'm hoping he'll go back and relay, you know, this information you've given him, and they can come back with a good competitive bid and not go up 20%. I'm hoping. I'm a taxpayer.
Well, yeah, I know.
I feel like that the recycling, you know, like when I've been out, I do see a lot of recycle bins out. So I do feel like a lot of citizens in Worthington Hills utilize their bins. I personally like to recycle. So I feel like we may get pushback from that if we decide to just do trash, but at the same time, I understand if it's going to go up 20%, you know, we have to look at that.
We may have to look at doing recycling every other week like Coldstream's doing.
Well, if they offer that,
yeah.
I mean, because usually I don't fill my whole bin up, you know, in 1 week, so...
Now, I only put my recycling about once a month.
Yeah.
And the trash hardly ever. Some people just put it out there, and no matter what size it is.
I
throw mine up there.
I do every week just out of habit, but I think it's a, like I said, I feel like, well, I think it's a great service that the city offers.
Right.
Is it cheaper to recycle? Isn't the cost cheaper to recycle?
No. Not when you're talking about the tonnage.
Well, but the tonnage, he did say, will go up.
Is this not the cost to recycle?
That's a cost to recycle, but look at the amount of tonnage. See, here's our tonnage for trash.
Right.
Here's our tonnage for recycling.
Oh, this isn't like per ton or anything like that?
No. That's per household.
But the cost of tonnage will go up on the trash.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it'll be an offset. So
yeah, but
I mean, if it's cheaper still, the tonnage of the trash, I mean,
yeah, I mean,
you know, if it goes up 20%, I just don't know any other right now, any other trash pickup services besides Waste Management that could accommodate our city.
I talked to Mayor Chung over in Douglas Hills during the city officials orientation. She came over, and they have a different company that they've been using for a couple of years. That I see their trucks around town. I've even mentioned it to Dennis, and I said we've got to see if we can get them. So I told when I was talking to her, I said I'd be contacting her to get the contact. Because there's so many personnel changes around the first of the year, I wanted to wait to get the most current person involved. So,
well, I know that there's another. I can't think of the name right now, but I've seen
Eco something.
No, this is another. I've seen multiple complaints.
There's an Ecotech.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't. Unless they've changed their name, I can't think of the other.
Well,
trash company.
The good thing is we have Mr. DeWeese for our legal counsel now, who, talking prior to the meeting, has had numerous encounters with the contracting. So we're going to have a better person to deal with the contracting this time around.
Yeah, but that company, that company did a bait and switch on us. I mean.
Oh, I know. Anytime. You know, yeah, I know anytime did.
Yeah.
I mean, that amounted to the rep not following up and getting the materials together. Because I basically, you know, after the meeting, I called her the next day and said, send us over your contract so we can look it over.
Yeah.
Well, send us your contract. I'm like, we don't do the contract. We manipulate your contract. And it never got around to it. That's the reason why nothing got done.
Yeah,
so
I think she was promising things.
Yeah,
whatever. So
okay.
I think it was just them.
I think you're looking at Ecotech out of Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Is that what that is? I'm pretty sure that's what it is, because I keep thinking it's Ecotech. Sorry, it's Echo or Eco.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Moving right along. If there's nothing else, we're going to move along. The bids and contracts, we know we got Rumpke. Derby City, Dennis and I spoke with Tate. We had lunch with Tate last Friday, and we talked over some things. We'll have that probably here in the next couple of months. I got the indication it's not going to be above $40,000. It's going to be about the same as what we're paying now. And the snow and ice removal, again, that is not until October, but I wanted to make sure that we bring that up. The city audit, we got the letter of engagement last year. The commission, when we did the audit for 2025 or 2024, we made an arrangement with the auditor to give us a decent competitive arrangement. So we've got the letter of engagement already with the amount. I just wanted to make sure that if we need to make any changes, and again, I can send that out
and we can talk about it next month. But this is a year we're required to do the audit. So fiscal year 25 is a required audit year, and we have already got a letter of engagement, which I will be signing after the 1st of July, since it will be part of our fiscal year 2026 budget. So that is that's what's on here. Okay. Any questions about the audit? Man, don't you all just love it? First read on the insurance premium tax change. This is a precautionary measure. In the Commonwealth of Kentucky, we have insurance premium tax. This is a big chunk of our revenue. Without it, there's no way we'd be paying for trash. The residents would be having to fork over some money. The whole reason for doing this ordinance, if it is to be put in, would have to be done by the 21st or 22nd of March. So I always like to do the preliminary first read on the February city meeting, just in case we need to have the second read, which is required, second two reads on ordinances at the March meeting, and we don't have to have special meetings to do that. The reason why I started doing this is because Louisville, back when I first became mayor in 2019, had talked about increasing their insurance tax to 10%. If they do that, what ends up happening is our residents would end up paying to Louisville 5%, because they would get to, they would, right now theirs is 5, ours is at 8, but if ours is lower than theirs, they get the difference. So if they're at 10, they would get 2%, and we're not getting anything now for the money we give them in property tax. So this was one of the things that I learned about my first year as mayor, and so this is the reason why I do this every year. So with that said, I'm going to read this. This is to be determined on the number. I doubt we're going to have to do it, because I haven't heard anything about Louisville increasing their insurance rate. City of Worthington Hills, Kentucky, an ordinance amending Ordinance Number 1, Series 2023, increasing the life insurance policy premium and non-life insurance policy premium license fees from 8% to 10%. And, of course, whatever Louisville is going to do is going to be where we're going to change our amount to, whatever percentage it is, if it's higher than ours currently. Whereas increased revenues are needed by the city to meet its financial obligations, it be ordained by the City of Worthington Hills that Ordinance Number 1, Series 2023, Section 2 and 3, which read, Section 2, the license fee imposed upon each insurance company which issues life insurance policies on the lives of persons residing within the corporate limits of the City of Worthington Hills shall be, and then we align through the previous in rate, which is 8% of the first year's premium actually collected within each calendar quarter by reason of the issuance of such policies. Section number 3, the license fee imposed upon each insurance company which issues any insurance policy which is not a life insurance policy shall be, again, line 38, of premiums actually collected within each calendar year or each calendar quarter by reason of the insurance of policies of risk located within the corporate limits of the City of Worthington Hills on those classes of policies which such company is authorized to transact, less all premiums returned to policyholders, shall be amended to read as follows. Section number 2, the license fee imposed upon each insurance company which issues life insurance policies of the lives of persons residing in the corporate limits of the City of Worthington Hills shall be 10% of this first year's premium actually collected within each calendar quarter by reason of the issuance of such policies. Section 3,
the license fee imposed upon each insurance company which issues any insurance policy which is not life insurance. Life insurance policy shall be 10% of the premiums actually collected within each calendar quarter by reason of insurance of policies of risk located within the corporate limits of the City of Worthington Hills on those classes of policies which such company is authorized to transact, lest all premiums return to policyholders. The ordinance shall become effective July 1st, 2025 upon passage approval and publication as by law. Passed and are approved during the March 18th, 2025 city meeting of the City of Worthington, their city commission, per to the law. That's just the first read, okay? We don't need to have a vote on it. I just did it so we have a first read. This is just preliminary. Is there any questions as far as the legal and contracting? If not, if Mr. DeWeese would like to leave, he's welcome to leave. If he wants to stay, he's welcome to stay.
Services are not needed, I will.
Let me look down this list.
No, that's
nice.
I don't see anything else on here that concerns me about having legal matters.
I never know when I need an attorney.
Very nice. Yep, you're welcome. All right, y'all have a good evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. DeWeese, if we decide to do this, you will actually be given a copy of this.
I've done that before, so.
I just wanted to let you know that this is just the same one we use over and over and over
again. I think I remember it from last year. So yeah. I'll be glad to look through those contracts from Rumke and the rest of the...
Right. We appreciate you coming out tonight.
My pleasure. Hope everybody stays safe.
I'm trying to move this along.
All right. I'll take care. Good
night. All right. You be warm. Be safe.
You too.
Okay. All right. Next thing on the agenda is old business. Has any commissioners got old business they need to talk about?
The only thing would be that the lights on Boynton was repaired. And they're on. All the lights are on.
Good. Okay. Bike to Beat Cancer route we crested through COWH. Is there anything... I want you to be thinking about this because we've got... 8 months until September, I think it is. Was it September 13th? That we might want to be involved in, or you know, do we want to go rah rah with it, or what? You know, but I wanted to bring this up again. If anybody wants the city to get involved with anything, just bring it up to the next meeting so I can get a hold of the sponsor. And let her know that we're interested in being an active, more than just a street or a couple of streets.
We could hand out hand out some balloons to the residents and have them tied to their mailboxes.
Have them cheer them along or something.
Yeah, do something.
Yeah. Well, think about it. We've got some time, and again, I just wanted to bring it up. Again, because it's one of those things that they've got a good rap now, okay, and hopefully nobody will get hurt on the speed bumps, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe put out garbage cans each corner or something, but then they've got garbage. Someone give them a bottle of water.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be stopping. I don't know how.
Yeah. Would you like me to have the lady that contacted me show up at the next meeting, or
she can, or she wants to give some feedback as to
or some ideas about the city? Sometimes
okay, can, I'll do that.
Something
okay,
but I do think placing balloons along the route would be cheerful and
okay.
Well, since a resident from Worthington Hills is involved in it.
Right.
I think that would be a great, show of
is there?
Support. Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lady
Riding
in it from Worthington Hills.
Okay. Core training. Is everybody signed up for core training?
I've still got two. I'm going to do it tonight.
Okay. Just right down the street here. Not too far.
What is okay. It in my attic?
Did Ed decide whether he wanted to go?
Yes, he signed up.
Okay, good.
It's behind the park on Lakeland. So you go alongside the park and go to towards the back. At the stop sign, take a right. And it's at the next stop, you take a right into the
Yeah, there's a sign right park. There at that second stop sign.
Yeah,
If you would like to follow Dennis and me, that we can stop and.
In spring time, usually in summer, I'd be running around there. I know it's so big, but that's why I would be like.
It's a really nice building.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing on the welcoming ambassadors. Nobody seems to want to get involved. Communications equipment.
We're going to use channel one tonight.
Channel one? All right. The big emergency channel.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything other in old business that I need to bring up? Okay. All right. First thing on new business. And again, I want to get this through. KLCS, Kentucky Legal City Insurance Services. The renewal process has started. They sent me the renewal information, and I've got to get it prepared, but I couldn't answer for the city commission because we're a commission. It's a majority rules. We have cyber liability coverage now. Okay, they added it years ago, but they started charging for it last year. We did decide to have the cyber liability coverage included on our program. So is there anybody who has a different feeling that we saying that we don't need it? I mean, it's just one of those things that's better to be safe than sorry. Because it's more costly than paying. Huh?
How much is it?
They don't know until they know how many people are going to sign up for it. It's one of those things, it's a risk factor, okay? Not everybody wants it on their policy because they may have some other whatever. I don't know why they wouldn't get it. But last year cost us around $500 a year. So, but that was just one portion of it. What did we end up paying out? Let's see. Last year in total insurance cost, we had $7,190.23. That was everything. $500 of that was for, and that was what the majority of our increase was. I think the rest of our coverage is only went up like $20, but the cyber coverage took us over the $7,000 mark. So. If I don't hear any objections, I'm going to go ahead and put it on there. Everybody okay with that? Oh, man. All right. Since I don't hear any objections, yes. All right. Municipal road aid. Everybody knows about municipal road aid. That's our road funds. Okay. I talked to us about this last year. And, of course, Commissioner Resendez wasn't here. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm bad with names. Anyhow, this particular item, there's a problem with this. Okay? This basically, instead of getting our monthly road fund amount, we would get all of but 3%. It's allocated out. But, yeah, 3% for each participating its valley point is placed into an emergency road fund. I only bring this up because being commissioned, it has to be one of these things. I can't make the decision. We didn't do it last year, and the reason we don't do it, it's a first-come, first-served basis. It's right there in the third paragraph, the very last sentence. May exceed the 3% allocation of the program are issued to the first-come basis once funds have been depleted, emergency funds will no longer be available. Most of these things are for where you have bridge repair or you have a sinkhole run into, coming out in your road, okay? That's the kind of stuff that this is really for. It's mostly for the rural cities. I don't encourage us to do it, but I have to, bring this up when we get this. So, does anybody want to go into this rural and municipal aid, the road, municipal road aid cooperative program?
So, if you go through this, you don't get the road fund.
No, you get the road fund, but you get 3%
less. 3%
less. Right. And we get right around $30,000. So right now, our balance on our road fund... Oh, I didn't put it on this. It's on Windows. We've got quite a bit of road fund, which we will be using probably next year because I expect the oil prices to come down with the drill, baby, drill. Right now in our road fund, and we've collected this, we've done road repair already, but right now in our road fund, we have $346,516.17. And again, this is that those funds can only be used for road repair and painting, putting in new speed
right.
bumps.
And then this aid fund it's for something for you us to use like right now.
If you have an emergency.
Emergency. Okay.
Yeah, and it has to be sent to the transportation cabinet, and they decide if it's legit or if it can be used on the emergency.
Oh, okay.
Whereas if we didn't have all this money in here, it might be worth it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we don't have any emergencies.
No.
Sinkholes that we know of.
We have sinkholes in Worthington Hills.
Oh, I know
but
that.
Hopefully we don't have any on the road. But,
right.
Here again, we've got a lot of sewer. We have had sewers
collapse,
but that's MSD. They have to fix it.
Right.
Okay, same thing with the water. If the water main breaks, they have to repair the road. So it's that's not something that we have to worry about when it comes to that. A natural type thing like a stream, washing away a road or a bridge or something of that nature is what this is really for. And that's why I say most of the counties go for it, okay, because they're the first ones to jump in there, okay?
Yeah.
So, again, if I don't hear anybody making a motion, then I'm saying, nope, we're not going to do that. Okay. All right. Here's the proposed budget. I gave the proposed budget or the budget and state of the city address. Here is, I'm just going to go over this real quick. Okay, we're not going to do anything with the numbers. I just want to make sure everybody gets a copy of this. It's our budget. It's not my budget. Okay. I just kind of help out and get the thing started. Okay? There's four columns on here. We'd only have three, but we did an adjustment last month. This is a worksheet. This is not the ordinance. The ordinance only has revenue and expense on it. This is our worksheet with all the line item breakdown. And in the column next to the line items, that was our budget worksheet amounts that we had last June that we passed. The next column over is our adjusted amounts, which was we adjusted out of the sanitation because we had all that extra money that we had in there from not having to get that renewal from Rumpke last year. So we had enough money to fill in for
the snow removal, which we needed to up from $20,000 to $40,000, and the same thing with the property maintenance. We had to increase that because we've had all that tree damage. So that's what's in the second column. Okay. The third column is where we're at to date. Okay. As of January 31st, these are the numbers by line item. And the last column is the projected. Now, the projected revenue, what I did for the property tax, because we're limited to 4%, I just added 4% to last year's budget amount, even though that's not actually the amount that we have for property tax coming in. But we have to, when we send out the property taxes, you know, if you pay it before the 1st of August, there's a 2% decrease. So you have to take into consideration whatever we get out for ad valorem tax at the base rate isn't necessarily what we're going to get for the year, because there's a lot of people that are on escrow accounts, and those escrow accounts come in paying around the last of July. So they're getting 2% off of what the revenue is for property tax. But like I said, I just went through here and just upped some of the numbers. I think I upped, because insurance premiums have gone up 10% minimum, I increased the amount on that by 10%, I believe it was. So again, these are just preliminary numbers. I want you to look over this. We're going to be working on this for the next 5 months. Our budget ordinance has to be done, or should be done, at our June meeting. On the back is the road fund, the restricted fund, and that's up to date. Okay? Everything is projected. Every year we project $150,000 for road fund usage. We were planning on, the next plan is to do Ludenburg and some of the stride sites each off of Ludenburg. We want to get the streets on a section arrangement rather than doing them all at the same time. But I expect that the gas prices and the oil prices are going to come down, which will affect the asphalt prices by the time they get this drilling started. So, any questions on this? If not, I'm moving along. Oh, as you can see on here, on the worksheet, the clerk's laptop is a Windows 10, so we've got to replace it. And we're going to use that to be, this is on the agenda thing. We're going to take, after we get the data transferred off of her laptop, we're going to get over to Dennis so we can start working the data off of those radar speed signs. We can get an idea of what's going on. Right now it's collecting the data, but we have nothing to collect it with. Okay?
Just what are we going to use that data for?
To get an idea, time frames. Because it gives, on the new ones, it not only gives the time and speeds going towards it, but it also grabs it going from the opposite, the traffic going the opposite direction. Okay? So you get the traffic coming to it, and you get the traffic going away from it.
Okay? Right. Then what are you going to do with that information?
We're going to give it to the law enforcement side and see what they can do with it. Okay? Our security people.
Right.
Okay? They will have a better idea when to set up their time frame for the patrols. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? All right. Well, with that, does any of y'all have new business? Well, this is going good. All right. I thought it'd be 8 o'clock. All right. So, with this, the commissioner report. Who wants to be first?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Go ahead.
129, got a call from Mayor Spellman stating the two streetlights were still out on Boynton Court. I called LG&E and the rep reported that the electrical repair had been ordered due to damage. 27, voicemail from resident at 4511 Lunenburg asking if recycling will be picked up. He stated that it was 10 a.m. and had been out for a week. I returned his call at noon because I was working, and recycling had been picked up. 29, I drove the city for street light check. Street lights were on Boynton, and no other lights were out. 216, I drove the city for street light check. No lights out. 218, attended city meeting and will participate in radio check.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Commissioner Winsendez.
On Saturday, January 25, I received a forward email regarding the Avon Drive homeowner disturbed by a loud intercom system that triggers false alarms at night on the weekend. On Monday, I reached out to the Avon Drive homeowner. I introduced myself and I offered my support. He responded by informing me that complement recourse assistance already on the case. So she didn't get back to me. 128, Tuesday reported code violations for Westford Place and Pulaski Court. February 7th, reported code violations for Lunenburg Drive and Queen Anne's Court. And from January 22nd to today, I drove around the city on several occasions and received no citizen concerns about trees or landscaping this month.
Thank you, Commissioner Winsendez.
And why are they calling you about intercom problems?
No, it was an email. It was forward. It was about, I think it was.
Is it an alarm?
About the Ford company behind.
Oh, the Ford company, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, they had the noise. That's Mr. Bendigger. Bendigger, I think it's.
Yes.
And I can't say his name. I'm the worst person in the world. But Mark. Mark contacted me and I had him contact you. So, yeah. Ford put in an alarm system that if they get any movement up there, okay, a cat, a squirrel, it's causing this alarm to go off. So. It's got a voice to it. It says something. I don't remember what it says.
What would that have to do with property?
Well, it's a noise violation. It's an adjacent property owner. Oh, okay. The
he's behind the back.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, where is that?
Right.
I'm confused why you would get involved and what you could do about it. Who do you call? The police?
No, we've been dealing with them people. Well, Ground Effects was up there before, and they were even worse because they were parking their trucks.
I remember all that.
Yeah. Time. So, again, that's all went down the metro. But again, here's what you got: as long as you've got a Ford contractor, and Ford owns that property now, so this is the problem we're going to have. They're not gonna do anything to upset Ford. Okay. Well, he did. It's one of those things. We get involved with that property. Okay.
Sometimes people just pick up one of those numbers and call them. They don't look to see who they should.
Yeah.
They just call.
Well, I don't see why, unless they were on Worthington Hills property, why we should even have anything to do with them.
It's a noise violation. Technically,
yeah,
noise
I
is
mean,
not supposed to go more than 50
the
feet.
The train, we've got a train.
Well, the train's
before.
Nothing you can do about the train.
Remember Cowley's howling. I mean, they don't care about the noise ordinance, you know.
I know. Go ahead, Commissioner Metcalf.
Commission report 18-25. Drove the city various times. Went to storage area with Mayor Stone on one occasion. On 2-14-25, went to Ned Small's office with Mayor Stone to get checks sent. Marisol and I went to the post office each Friday. On 2/14/25, Marisol and I had a meeting with Detective Rachel with W6 Protection. Conducted radio checks after last three meetings in Channel 16. We'll conduct radio checks tonight, 2/18/25, using Channel 1. On 1/26/25, issued parking permits for 4011 Northumberland Drive. On 1/25/25, issued parking permits for 4004 Northumberland Drive. On 2/1/25, issued parking permits for 4513 Lindbergh. That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. And I have Commissioner Bebils, who, again, I begged her, or I asked her not to come tonight because, you know, she has problems walking, and they had not cleaned up the facilities over there at Tress. So she wanted to show up, but I told her I did not want her getting hurt. You know the conditions. So Road Commissioner report for Commissioner Bebils, January 22nd, 2025 through February 18th, 2025. January 28th, 2025, registered for the 2025 Kentucky Pipeline Safety Program to be held on March 11th, 2025. February 2nd, 2025, watch the KLC COA slides Mayor Stoneham shared concerning open meetings and open records. February 10, 25, contacted Mason Carpenter with MoBetter and asked him to treat the streets ahead of the wintery mix predicted for 211. 211, the streets had nothing more than slush on them this morning, so contacted Mason to let him know we didn't need anything else done to the streets. February 13, 2025, registered for the City Advantage Zoom meeting scheduled for March 19, 2025, which is for pertains to ice and snow removal. February 16, 2025, I asked Mason to plow and treat the streets after the snow stopped, which he did. 2/17/2025, Mayor Stone contacted me to let me know the person who was plowing yesterday had pushed snow around mailboxes. I contacted Mesa via email to remind him that plowing snow into drains around mailboxes or adjacent to fire hydrants is prohibited, and the 10-foot allowance around them must be adhered to in COWH. Evan Parker, the person who does the actual plowing, contacted me to let me know that he was driving the city to put together a plan on where to push the snow when he plowed the streets. Also on 2/17/25, I participated in a webinar presented by the Commonwealth of Kentucky Emergency Management. It will be a daily webinar during which updates on flooding, snow, coordination efforts of the KEM, Kentucky Emergency Management, /FEMA, that's FEMA, and other organizations will be present. 2/18/25, asked Mason to treat the street this morning, which he did, and to plow later this evening or early a.m. as needed. I participated in the Kentucky Emergency Management webinar this afternoon. That's KEM, okay? And that's it for Commissioner Bebils' report.
I was wondering, I don't want to bother Linda about it, but, I mean, can these guys please not block our driveway? I cannot afford to pay $100 to have that renewed every year. And if I have a heart attack out there doing it, I will sue. If I don't, my son will.
I don't know how they can plow and not push it, and there's going to be something.
They have done it before. We have. I don't know if it was MoBetter, but I know in the past 5 years, maybe it was 2 years ago or so, the driveways were not blocked. these guys were smart enough to know, like on Pacelli, to push it on out to the across the street to that area on Mansman to that vacant area, or to push it up on the green space in Pacelli. There are plenty of places, and I observed that driving through Worthington Hills last night or Sunday night, the same. There are spaces that these can be pushed, even if it's in someone's yard.
Yeah.
So it can be done because it's been done before.
Well, talk to Linda about it.
I mean, I watched the guys the last time they were out. I witnessed a guy pull up. I don't even know what he was doing except he was on his phone. He pulled up, backed in the court, went around the court, and then left. So,
well, he could have been out of salt.
He was out of something.
Well, see, the salt will only hold three times.
I don't know what it was.
The salt will only hold three tons, okay? Or not even that. It's a ton and a half, okay? And it takes three tons. That's right, ton and a half, because it takes three tons to do Worthington Hills, okay?
Well, you know, this was not my driveway I paid for. This was the ice mountain behind my car. And, you know, what if someone had a medical emergency? Mm-hmm. Could EMS even navigate over that mountain?
If you have a problem, call Commissioner Beville. She has a contact number for these people. Okay?
Well, it wasn't just me. I didn't want to make it out like it was just me.
Well, it's not just you. It's everybody. But the proper person to talk to is Commissioner Beville, and she will handle it.
Well, okay. I'm just wondering if it's too much to ask.
She's gotten a lot of complaints about it.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been the ice mountain. I mean,
this is the reason why I did what I did 2 days ago. Is I happened to be out driving around, and I recognized what was going to happen because I knew the snow emergency or the snow event's coming tonight, okay? And I did not want the same thing happening that happened the last time with the amount of snow that we're putting, okay? And if you recognize it, you say something, okay? If nobody tells Commissioner Bedell anything and they just call me, I can't do anything about it. It's not my job, okay? That's the problem. A lot of people don't understand our form of government.
Hot last time. I just didn't want, even though, you know, like with the dumpsters and stuff, I took a lot of heat for that in church condos. I just don't want to, you know, make it sound like it's all about me. And
no, it
was a citywide issue.
Right.
And there were other people that, you know, had to pay to have that ice mountain removed.
Well, here's the thing. You know, again, and whenever they scrape my streets on the street that I live on, the first thing I do after they leave is go out and scrape that friggin' ice mountain off because I know what'll happen. I've lived here long enough. If you let it sit, it will freeze. It will become an iceberg. And then it's almost impossible to move. Okay? So, again,
well,
it's not just the snow removal people.
No, I just know a few years ago, whoever that crew was, it was impeccable. The job they did was impeccable because there were no blocking of the driveways, of the mailboxes.
That was the first, you know, that was the first group that we had I became mayor.
They were professionals. I mean, they knew what they were doing.
Right.
So he
did a good job because I had been talking to him when I was road commissioner at several of the Jefferson County League of City meetings that he would show up at as a one of these booths, and I had talked to him for 2 years before I became mayor. And once I became mayor, he became the snowplow guy. Okay, but here again is he did not make the bid, and he's not a resident. Who we have now is a resident, and he's taking heat for it. Okay, And I believe
I like the guy. I don't have any.
I mean,
but
you just but he's not the one doing the driving. And
no, but you go behind your. Who's expediting? Who's going behind them and checking to make sure they're doing it right?
Well, that's the day. It just so happens after I made the mail run, I was driving around the city, and sure enough, the contractor was out salting the streets, and I ended up in one of the cul-de-sacs with him, and he knows me, okay? So I know they did a much better job this time because he had seen me later on twice while he was still doing the salting. So he knew I was out there watching and waiting to just catch him, you know, not doing something right. And I talked to him during that January, the January snow. He was on the street. He was up in the cul-de-sac, and I stopped him on the way down, and I told him, I said, look, you guys need to get these friggin' dang plows closer to these mailboxes, and you need to quit putting so much snow in front of these driveways. Because the people aren't getting out here and shoveling right away, and it's just going to freeze up on them.
I don't mind paying, but I don't. I shouldn't have to pay an extra $100 to have that ice removed.
Well,
so,
like I said, if you have a problem, you call Commissioner Bedell. She now has the phone number to the guy doing plow.
Well, is this the first city that they've taken on?
I have no idea.
I'm curious.
I mean, we've had them for 3 years, but this is the first year we've ever had this amount of snow. I mean, it's difficult. If you've not ridden with one, and again, when I was road commissioner back the first year I was road commissioner in 2015, I rode with them that year. It was actually the beginning of 2016 because the snow was almost over by the time I became road commissioner. And it's a chore. It's a challenge to do these cul-de-sacs. It's a challenge to put the snow anywhere when you get the level of snow that we got. I mean, they weren't expecting that much.
To push it up into a green space, I don't find that challenging.
Well,
but you know, I'm just asking because if they were used to doing parking lots and then they took on a city, that would explain. Maybe
well, let me put it this way, okay? Her report stated that he was out doing an advanced survey because I actually have told him, you know, most of these cul-de-sacs are all designed with a big open space. The driveways are on either side. One's on the right side, and the next house down's on the left side. Gives them a big open space to put that snow into, okay? And I told him, I said, that's how they're almost all the contact. Don't be pushing it in front of friggin' mailboxes. Don't be pushing it in front of the fire hydrants, you know? And the MSD does not want them on the drains. And that's because it messes up the drainage, okay? So, again, this was the first big snowfall they had, okay? And it is a challenge when you've got that much snow to push. You can't push 8 inches of snow just any old where.
You can defend them till the cows come home.
I'm not defending them. I'm just saying.
Or advocate for them or whatever. I don't care. I mean,
I'm just saying.
You know,
the person you talk to is Linda.
The mountain this high is just unacceptable. It just is.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Okay.
I can't keep spending $100 each time they plow.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Nope.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Y'all have a blessed evening.
Too.